Okay. Again, welcome to the call, everyone.
And it'd be a good idea to maybe grab a pen and paper. I'm going to be giving you quite a bit of information along with a number that you're definitely going to want to have. So if you're on this call, then it's likely that someone in the Alliance feels that you are aligned when it comes to your core values and long-term vision. I started my journey that some of you may be embarking on about 22 years ago. And I'm currently a member of the Gentry class and serve as the Viceroy for the organization. My intention of the call is to give you more information about the organization, what our objectives are, you know, what the culture of Bellwether is, and really help you try to feel what it's like to be a Bellwether member. In fact, just to tell you a little bit about my story, you know, I'm from the Los Angeles area, and I started off, you know, neither one of my parents really had a lot of financial success. My father was a jeweler, a salesman, and my mother was a teacher's aide, and, you know, grew up in that environment of scarcity and survive, not certainly not thrive in abundance, although my parents were good people. And there was some substance abuse and physical abuse and, you know, the whole story that many of us have dealt with. But even though I was a terrible student in school, I do have a condition called synesthesia. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what that is, but synesthesia is very similar to like a form of autism where your different five senses get crossed. So some people can maybe smell color or see music or certainly certain things are maybe wires are crossed, so to speak, in your brain. And believe me, there is a lot of drawbacks. Some of why people might attest that I can be a mess sometimes. But sometimes what results with this condition is you can have a high understanding or leaning towards certain things. So for me, I've always had a pretty good understanding of mathematics. And because of that one thing, some really great people decided to take an interest in me when I was quite young, much greater people than I'll ever be, I'm sure. And that opened some doors for people that wanted to mentor me and help me along. And eventually that led to several different mentors. And eventually I met a person that was, you know, one of the richest people in the world. I think he was number 25 on the Forbes list. We built a great friendship and became very, very close. And of course, there was things that I would observe about his life. I said, you know, Bill, I know that you're, you know, not only a rich guy, I know you're a billionaire and you have all these friends, but how do you know all this stuff? Like he would say stuff, it was just profound. And he knew everybody. Like, how do you know everybody? And there's something not adding up here. And eventually, of course, he kind of filled me in and that led to my nomination and eventually being in the group. Now, I can't say that, you know, today because of that, we do have quite a bit of success. So me and another Bellwether member outside of Bellwether, we own a private equity fund. We invest pretty aggressively. I think in the last 12 months, we've invested in about 35 companies. We invest a lot in commodities, oil, gold, different commodities, startup, different. We'd like to stick four or five different lanes that we feel like we can, you know, offer value to. We also invest in our passions, right? So education is a big one for me. We're heavily invested in, have several joint ventures with different universities, as well as entertainment. So different forms of media, book publishing, television, film, things like that. Over time, we've done well. So today we own equity in over 200 companies and we've built several others that are very successful. And I'm not saying this to brag or, you know, to impress anyone, but my point is that I was this kid with, you know, a chip on his shoulder and not, you know, a scarcity mindset. I didn't have, you know, the right start, as some would say. But all of my success, you know, I'm not where I am today because of my, you know, intelligence or my IQ or, you know, because of synesthesia or my work ethic is better than anyone else's. I owe everything because these great people mentored me along. They showed me this great education and they put me in an organization that was of like-minded people, and they opened up their Rolodex, so to speak, and gave me the contacts I needed, and eventually I became successful. So for me personally, I owe everything to what I was taught through the organization and, of course, the connections and everything else. And, you know, I can't say that this is the right move for you. I can't say, that you're fully aligned, and this is the right move for you. I can only say that it's definitely been the right move for me and certainly has exceeded all of my expectations. In fact, if you think about the reasons why most people never really have a large amount of success, or let's say hit generational wealth, and not just generational wealth, but success in other aspects of their life. There's a few reasons, right? So one is they don't have the right education, or they are missing some things, right? So they don't know how to put together the how, right? And, you know, when I talk about education, it doesn't mean that they have all the right degrees. Some people have that traditional kind of education. I think most entrepreneurs, it's more self-education, right? Reading books, listening to podcasts, finding a mentor, you know, School of Hard Knocks, whatever. But whatever it is, we need a good education that we learn how to not only implement strategies, the right strategies, but how those, you know, the right actions will actually lead to the right reaction that we're seeking. How to think through problems and into solutions, how to mitigate risk, right? How to staff, lots of things that we need to know. So we need the right education. But some people have a good education, but they don't have the right set of core values. We see that all the time, don't we? We read about companies that are having a lot of financial success, at least, but they don't have the right set of core values. They don't know how to treat people, or they're doing things that are dishonest. And, you know, one day it all comes crashing down. That's another reason why people don't have that sustainable success, right? Another reason why many don't have, they're not hitting the level of success they wish for, maybe because they don't have the right contacts, right? So, you know, sometimes we might hit this place in our business that we just can't get to the next level without a strategic alliance or two, or, you know, strategic joint venture, bringing on that right person. And we don't have the Rolodex. Maybe we're a small company that has a product or service and we're looking for acquisition from a larger company, right? Maybe we're looking for that massive license agreement, but we don't have the leverage position to be able to set those type meetings with that big corporate CEO, right? Or the person that has the notoriety. We can't get the right meeting set up, or perhaps funding, right? Maybe we got our business to a certain point, but to get to the next level, we need a cash infusion. We need some funding. We don't know how to do that, or we've tried and it didn't work out. So there's many reasons why people don't reach the level of success that they are hoping for. And, you know, not to say that this is some kind of magic pill, but if we allow Bellwether to do its job and members that really, you know, become integrated in Bellwether and make deep lasting friendships, eventually the organization can solve all those problems. You know, they provide nothing short of $1 million education. And myself and the rest of the Gentry class and Regent Council take it very serious to help each and every member be able to learn these different tools, these different success principles, in order to give them the resources they need for the purpose of expanding, you know, a positive impact. We help them get the context they need. I'd say the average Bellwether member probably meets, you know, I don't know, 60 to 80, maybe 100 people the first year, right? Now, this isn't LinkedIn. These aren't just some, you know, well, 80 connections, I could get that in a week. These are people of magnitude, people that are of high value, people that are cut from a high moral fiber that do the right thing. You know, most people, they might have a vast, network of connections, but they might only have a couple of people of high value that they're actually close to, right? Can you imagine having 60 or 80 people like that in your Rolodex in the future? How would that change our business? You know, and the organization is comprised of every walk of life, right? So we have, lots of very successful entrepreneurs, business owners, C-class executives, doctors, lawyers, engineers, but there's, also investors, philanthropists, there's, pro football players and other athletes, actors. I mean, everybody is in the alliance. And, eventually those things could even lead to the strategic joint venture that we're seeking, or in the license agreement that we're trying to get, or even possible funding, which we see many in the organization get. So if we, really fully encompass the experience for what it is, and we serve Bellwether in a way that we add value back and we maintain the rules, right? We make sure that we're not getting into gray areas. We uphold our integrity. Then eventually Bellwether could be a solution to many of the problems that people face that hold them back from reaching the level of their full potential. In fact, the objectives of Bellwether are very clearly stated on the site. In a nutshell, we're an organization, a global organization comprised of very successful, proactive people. These are proactive, kind of get-or-done type people. They're not reactive, from all walks of life, all fields. But the mechanism that binds everybody together, the mechanism that brings everybody together is core values. And you probably saw on the site, there's a credo that all members take very seriously, that we live by. We don't get into gray areas, and we hold the line when it comes to core values. These are people that will not compromise that. You know, from my perspective in the organization, it's really cool because I see people on a very regular basis, doing business together, forming partnerships, getting funding, doing all these amazing things between members, doing million-dollar JVs or whatever. But then I also see pretty regularly where maybe multi-million dollar deals that they'll let go by the wayside, and they'll say, these people that I'm dealing with are outside of Bellwether, and I just don't feel aligned with the core values. I can make X amount of money right now, but we don't feel aligned with these people, and we think we're going to pass. I mean, how cool is that to see people that are truly living by what they preach and toeing the line? You know what I mean? Certainly inspiring, for sure. And, there's no Bellwether, there's no religious affiliation or political affiliation. We have people write in, who's really behind this? Is this Donald Trump or, the Catholic Church? Like, what's the real story? Is this Illuminati? I mean, what the site says is exactly what it is. Whatever's not on the site is what we're not. It's very transparent. It's just we're not a high-end networking group of rich people. We've actually had people say, how come this isn't, we should have this really high price to get into Bellwether, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, just the elite, right? And that's been brought up many, many times because of the value that Bellwether provides. But we don't want just a bunch of rich people, very wealthy people, and then we have to teach them how to be good people and how to have strong core values. See, the qualification to get into Bellwether, there is a vetting process. It's all internal. We don't do any outside recruiting. You have to be nominated from someone in the organization. But the qualification is how to treat people, right? It's about core values. It's about being cut from a certain moral fiber, right? And then, many of them, just the nature of the organization, many people are pretty wealthy. They're pretty successful. Most people are above the average line, that's for sure. However, we want good moral people, and then we can give them the success principles to grow their wealth and for the purpose of growing their reach and positive impact. Very different organization. In fact, if you imagine a group that really truly puts, you know, how to treat people first, right? And they honor their word and they uphold high integrity, but they have, you know, pretty much endless resources. They have endless reach, and people truly are others focused. They put one another, fellow members first, like a brotherhood. And, you know, and it's comprised of every type member, then that group can go very, very far. Now, of course, there's rules of engagement. You know, we can't just bird dog everybody in the group and, hey, man, I need to just get this and this and this. There's rules of engagement, right? So we have to make sure that when we contact people, that we're offering something of high value, right? That's also good for them. I don't want to get too JFK here, but we also can't think about just what can we get out of the organization. Although we can get so much out of the organization, we also have to look at what can we do for the Alliance and its members, right? And of course, you know, how do we give value back? There's a few ways. Number one is uphold our integrity at all costs. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to walk away from a deal because it's not right. Not because there's something that's, you know, of low integrity, but sometimes we just can't really offer value to that person. Even though we might be able to close a deal, or, you know, maybe we can't really offer the right amount of value. The right thing to do would be to pass or make a recommendation to someone that can offer value, right? So we want to make sure that we're upholding our integrity at all times. Also, make sure that we're doing the work. Make sure that we're really focusing on learning the laws. When we talk to other members, which is very regular, make sure that we're others focused, that we're interested, that we're present and really listening to what their needs are and offering help as well to other members and guidance as they'll be giving to us. And even, you know, eventually even opening doors for other people to come into the Alliance. You know, we trust our members completely. And every member worldwide has the authority to share the link and make a formal nomination to another person, because we trust that they understand what our organization is about. They understand the culture, and they can open that door up. Now, that doesn't guarantee that that person will become a bellwether member, because there is a vetting process, as you know. You know, so somebody, even me, if I share the link, you know, I'm saying, look, I kind of vouch for this person. I know who they are, and I know that they're, you know, certainly aligned with bellwether. But the next step, if they respond positively to the link and they don't get too freaked out, then they'll fill out a questionnaire. And then based on the questionnaire, that goes to a region council, and they kind of make the call. Do we feel like, based on this information, the person's aligned? If they are, they're invited to a call, this call, to get a lot more information. After this call tomorrow, you'll be sent the bylaws of the organization to see how all that works. Then you will have an official offer potentially to join the Alliance for new membership. So there's a process, and we want to make sure that we follow the process and add value to everyone, including Bellwether itself. You know, for every 100 members that come in worldwide from Bellwether, we're probably already in need of 400 or 500 members to facilitate the needs of the 100. Because when 100 members every, you know, whatever, weekly or whatever, come into Bellwether, 50 on the left side don't necessarily completely satisfy the needs of the 50 on the right, and vice versa. Most of them have similar needs. So when we take in and accept 100 members in Bellwether, we already need 400 or 500 members more to go make sure that we can facilitate the needs of the 100. And that's why it's important to always keep our eye out for others that we feel like we can vouch for, or people that we feel like are aligned. So for the first 3 to 6 months, one thing we really want to focus on is learning the laws and principles. We really want to focus on not only listening to the laws — they are sent via audio, by the way — but applying them, right? And, you know, a lot of people ask, can you explain a little bit about the laws? You know, it says like secret success laws. I mean, what are these? Are these, you know, no one else has them in the world? Like, can you explain a little bit more? So let me do that. The laws are exclusive to this. They're proprietary and exclusive to this organization. And as you read, there's 52 what we call elevation laws, or people call them secret success laws. So let me explain a little bit about what that means. So most people, I think, today in business, at least most entrepreneurs or business people, they understand, let's say, the law of attraction, right? Now, that's not one of our laws. I'm just giving you an example. But let's say like the law of attraction. Law of attraction has been around for hundreds of years, perhaps thousands. Most people have had a vision board in the past, or they understand at least, you know, the mechanics of how we can attract certain things into our life, good or bad. And most people have at least some basic understanding about the law of attraction. But that's a law that we could say that was kind of lost over the years. It was kind of a lost law. And there's said to be about 100 laws that were lost over time. Some of them, perhaps they speculate, maybe even were purposely hidden from the masses, from everyday people. It was kind of a lost law. It wasn't until the 1950s, there was a gentleman by the name of Wallace D. Wattles, and he wrote a body of work called The Science of Getting Rich. It's an amazing, amazing body of work, and it really breaks down the mechanics of how the law of attraction works. It really gets into different metrics of why we're, how it's based upon mathematics and other physical laws, right? That work became widely accepted. And then a few decades later, you have people like a Bob Proctor or Joyce or others. Eventually the book, The Secret, comes out, and then they make a movie. And now most people understand, at least on some level, the law of attraction and how we can attract things into our lives. But we could say that for the most part, this was a lost law that people really weren't familiar with. And it wasn't until just a handful of people over the last few decades were the ones responsible to really bringing it back to the forefront, to mainstream. Now, again, that's not one of our laws. We certainly believe in that, and we practice the law of attraction. But there's a set of laws, particularly 52 laws, that they're called elevation laws. And it's because these laws all work in congruency together. Now, when you start learning the laws, I got to tell you, some of them, all of them are, they're profound. You know, some of them are like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I haven't learned. How can I be 50 years old? I don't know that. Right? But some of them are like, I don't even know what that's saying. Like, I got to go listen to that 10 times. I don't even get that. Like, they're really weighty, and they're really even profound, right? But it's not just the power of the individual law that you're learning, but it's the way that they work in full harmony and congruency that gives members such an elevated position, right? Let me explain what I mean by that congruency. So let's say that someone on the call has been down a journey about getting healthier, right? And they want to think about maybe getting on a better regimen, losing a little bit of weight, whatever. And so they do all this research, and the conclusion that they come up with, I'm not saying this is the conclusion that's right, but the conclusion they come up with is they want to start eating 100% plant-based. So they do all the research, they get all ready, they start eating plant-based, and they love it. It's good for them. It's a good fit. They have great results. They do it for 6 months, let's say. At the end of 6 months, they meet someone that comes to them and they say, you know, my friend lost a bunch of weight. She looks amazing. And she's doing this thing, let's say keto diet, where she's eating very high protein and animal protein and, you know, some fat is okay, but kind of a lower carbs. And you can put your body into the state of ketosis, and it regulates glucose and burns excess fat. And she kind of explains the science behind it, right? And after further research, this person says, wow, I get this. I believe in this too. And I want to start doing this also, right? Now, someone that's eating 100% plant-based diet, or someone that's eating 100% keto, I'm sure will have amazing results. They'll probably get what they're seeking to find, right? Because both of those regimens work very well for people that do it in their totality. They work very well in their completeness. But when you start mixing those two ideologies, right? So when you're eating a ton of animal protein and fat, but you're also eating high carbs now, right? Like plant-based and fruit and all those high carbs, man, you could be fat and unhealthy, right? You can be overweight and unhealthy. And so on their own and their completeness, both of those ways of eating will give amazing results. But when you mix those two ideologies, they don't support each other. They're in direct conflict, right? And if you think about it, that's really the way people, especially entrepreneurs, business people, we kind of educate ourselves, right? So let's say that someone years ago went to a Tony Robbins seminar. And they say, you know, the one thing I pick up from Tony 20 years ago was this one nugget, and I've used it the last 20 years and it's served me well. It's certainly really, really helped me. And then they read, you know, a Grant Cardone book, 10X Rule, and they pick up a book from Gary Vee and Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Tim Ferriss, you know, 4-Hour Workweek. They learn from all these people. They pick up these valuable nuggets from all these people. And then, you know, listen to podcasts or whatever. Most entrepreneurs, their routine is having a good, part of the routine daily is constantly feed on what we want to grow, right? And so by doing that, all of these people that I mentioned are very successful people, and I'm sure their programs yield amazing results for its followers. However, when you start mixing those ideologies, well, they might not support each other. For instance, you think about a guy like a Grant Cardone or a Gary Vee, they're into, you know, the grind, right? Embrace the grind, have a job to mitigate risk, and then build your business on nights and weekends and just, you know, embrace it, right? That's what it is. Pay your dues and focus on the micro level, not on the macro, right? Focus on the macro level, not on the micro, the long term. Then you get a guy like a Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek. He believes in causality, right? So he's like, look, we work in cycles and we're very effective. Most people are effective about 4 hours at a time. So when you're effective, you need to take big actions, take actions, because the reaction will always be fitting to the action. But when your mind's not there and you're not effective, don't continue to take actions, because that will bring a bad reaction, you know, reaction fitting to the action. And then that bad reaction is going to show up and negate all the good reaction, all the good stuff you just did. So, you know, work when you're effective and then stop and then don't work. So two very different things. Those can't support each other. So again, when we educate that way and we take a little bit from this person and that person, this person, all those people are successful. But when we mix all those things, you know, and we, you know, bring it into one ideology, it doesn't support each other. And what it can amount to is years of effort and learning with very little results. You know, and it's not because they don't have the work ethic. It's not because they're not good people or they don't have integrity or whatever. But I know people that have been grinding for 20, 30 years. They're not that much farther now than when they started their journey, right? So again, that's just shedding a little light on how the laws work. You know, it gets to where everything that we're trying to do, whether it be in our business or personal life, there's a law that directly affects it. And so when we just wrap our heads around just the first dozen elevation laws, because they work, not only because they're so powerful individually, but because they work together in harmony, the position that people have, the growth that people have in their finances and their personal life and their marriage, it's almost hard to articulate. It's almost unbelievable, right? And, you know, it gets to where I look at the laws just kind of like a deck of cards, you know? So in any element of my life, whether it be in my business or my personal, when I feel a little bit out of alignment or I'm getting a condition showing up that I don't like in any aspect of life, it just means I'm out of alignment. And then I'll go back through the cards and I'll say, okay, I'm doing this one. I'm doing this law. I'm doing that law. Ooh, law of the caterpillar. I'm not doing that. I forgot about that. Law of open cycles. Oh yeah, man, I'm not doing this. I'll put a little focus on that law that week and the condition clears up. And it's that easy. So the laws are very powerful. And again, you might have tried to Google them, or you're not going to find these laws anywhere on the internet. They're exclusive to the group and they're given to every bellwether member worldwide. And we really want them to, we assist them in helping them not only get the laws, but understand them in a way that's going to make a real difference and impact in their lives. You also, as I mentioned earlier, there's a credo. You know, that's really the main core of bellwether. And if you've read it, no doubt you feel aligned, or you probably wouldn't be on the call, but we take that very seriously. You know, the first and foremost, the main thing about bellwether is how to treat people, right? And then we give people the access to things that will help grow their reach. And that's really how to make impact. You know, you see people right now on social media, they're talking about impact. I just want to help people. I want to help people. I want to help people. It's not about the money. It's just about helping people. And man, I get that. You know, it should be first and foremost about helping people. We have to be others focused and provide real value. It always has to be about people first. We get that. But right behind that, we have to also be pretty dialed in and be pretty good at the monetization side and understand how to make money. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, if we're all about helping people, we want to make this big impact, it takes resources to be able to do that, man, right? So, you know, if you want to get, if you have a unique value or a unique skill set or unique specified knowledge, and you've come up with some solutions, you want to share it with the, you know, your country, even the world, man, that takes millions of dollars, right? And so we don't want to make money the most important thing, but it's pretty important. You know, we, right behind the values and how to treat people, we need resources in reality to be able to expand that message, to be able to help get it to a lot of eyeballs and ears so we can, you know, make that real impact. You know, we might have the greatest solution in the world. We might truly have the cure for cancer or truly have the cure for COVID or whatever those things are. But if nobody knows about it, there's little to no impact, right? So we have to have the resources to expand giving that solution or that knowledge to the world. And so the money is important, but first and foremost, obviously, are the core values. And that's really, you notice on the side, we do talk a lot in the organization about helping members create generational wealth within 5 years. And the reason why that's so important, it's not for personal gratification. It's not so everybody's driving Lambos and, you know, all the things that you see posted on the internet, but it's primarily for the purpose of expanding our reach. You know, money, as you know, is a tool, and it generally reflects a person's heart condition. So if a person, you get a good person that has high moral fiber and high, you know, really truly others focused and truly wants to make a difference in the world, and you give them access or teach them how to have expand their wealth position, right? Generally, that money is going to, you know, expand that goodness, right? By giving them those resources, it's going to perpetuate a lot of good in the world, right? Conversely, you get a bad guy with, you know, little to no core values and character, and he makes a bunch of money. That's going to perpetuate a lot of bad conditions in the world, right? And a lot of greed and a lot of, you know, false perceptions of people that are going to buy into that. It's going to expand those characteristics, right? So again, money is a tool, but it is important, especially for good people to have. And we feel like our members are good people, and we feel like it's in everybody's best interest for them to learn how to expand their resources for the purpose of making a broader impact. And there's other things that, of course, the organization provides. You probably read about a wealth plan on the site. Every member, regardless of class, even gentry class, we all fill out a wealth plan twice a year, every 6 months. And so it really helps us, of course, get clarity of vision, really get dialed into what our goals and objectives and strategies and what we're trying to do. And it lets Bellwether as an organization understand what you're trying to do. But it's really important to always fill out, because at the end of the wealth plan, it asks some specific questions. It basically, like, you know, right now, what are exactly the type people you need to know, or what are the type connections you need to be able to, you know, expedite your journey, to be able to, you know, increase your position, right? You don't have to put people. So, You don't have to put like, well, I need to know Oprah and introduction to Michael Jordan would be nice. Some people try to do that. But really what we're after is more of like, what are the types of things? Well, I need a cryptocurrency expert. I need a person that specializes in this. I'm looking for some, you know, connections and introductions to big corporations, particularly in this technology, right? Maybe that's for the purpose of acquisition. I'm looking for, you know, some angel investor, VCs, whatever it is. We have to be specific. And that's how Bellwether Central, or we call it corporate, we call it Central. That's how they know how to help us in a more specified manner. See, instead of just giving blanket help, like here's all these really amazing laws and here's some core values to live by, we want to know how we can specifically help and aid each member. And so that helps us to get a little more drilled down to know like, okay, Karen, she needs to be introduced to this guy. Here's how. And that's how they facilitate a lot of the help, right? Let's see here. So the wealth plan is very specific. And the reason we fill it out twice a year is, let's be honest, as we continue to grow and have growth and we elevate our position, probably the people we need to know change as well, right? Our needs change and the type of people we need to know then change. The people I needed to know maybe a year or two ago are different than the ones I need to know today, okay? So we want to make sure that we're prompt in filling those things out. It's also a great idea, and somebody will help you with this, but to have a really up-to-date bio, because as you're being introduced to other members, which most Bellwether members have an introduction to another member, like on a weekly basis, right? Real regular. So we have to have an up-to-date bio, so when we make an introduction between two people, they know a little bit about you and perhaps what the point of the call is. You know, we don't want to have to constantly get on people and say, hey, we don't have a bio for you. It's hard to kind of make an introduction and say, well, hey, Bob, meet Karen. She's a really, 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 really amazing lady with high integrity. Like, we need a little bit to give Bob as well, right? So we want to make sure that we're not only filling out the wealth plan, but we're keeping an up-to-date bio on ourselves. And there's different ambassadors that will be calling you to help you make sure that you're getting everything in, so you don't have to worry about any of that. You know, one thing that I appreciate about the organization, and this is just kind of a personal thing, maybe one of the biggest things that I love about the organization, is that you don't have to get on someone else's vision to be successful. And let me tell you what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, look, man, you have to get into real estate. That's where all the money is. Or you have to get into, you know, CBD oil. That's where all the money is going to be. Or you have to get into cryptocurrency. That's where all the money is going to be. Or, you know, there's always a thing, right, that everybody's pushing where all the opportunity and the money is going to be. And I'm not knocking those fields, right? If you work in one of those fields, no doubt many of our members make their living that way and even create wealth in those lanes. But what I'm saying is those things might not personally align with your vision, right? They might not really align. So you're like, well, I guess I got to get into real estate. That, you know, that's where all the money is, you know? But again, I'm not knocking those fields, but it might not be your passion. Right. But we feel like we should get onto those things because we perceive it to be a way to be able to take care of our families and, you know, mitigate risk and take care of our responsibilities, which I get it, man, you know. But the nice thing about Bellwether, what I've personally really enjoyed, is we don't have to get onto something because we perceive it to be a way to, you know, satisfy our needs or take care of our families. We can focus on our passion, on our vision, what we're about. Right, we don't have to let that dream die or become the sacrificial lamb that I know so many people do and say, well, you know, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm playing my role because I'm the head of the house and that's what I'm supposed to do. I get it, and it's certainly admirable, but we can now focus on what we want to do and then apply the education to what we're doing, seek out the right contacts, the right people to help us in that field and have success. So again, really a great advantage that I've personally enjoyed about the Alliance. And there's other things, of course, everybody gets a workbook that we're wanting to fill out every day, and that helps us just to kind of keep track to make sure we're maintaining a good daily routine and make sure we're maintaining balance in our lives, whatever your definition of success is. You know, some people say it's their faith, family, financial independence, joy, giving back, you know, whatever that looks like for you, to stay balanced and stay very productive. And, you know, there's events, monthly events on the phone. There's live events. We've had to taper back the live events a little bit with current conditions in the world. But a lot of times we'll go to a certain area and, you know, we might have right before this whole thing began, the COVID thing kind of unfolded. We did an event in Los Angeles where there was 2-3 dozen members I had never met. We flew down there, rented this big house, had it catered, brought a few dozen people under one roof, and just talked business for a couple of days. And it's amazing when you attend these live events. We've done several in Nashville, all over the place, each area of the country or even other parts of the world. And it's nice because it's like this crazy eclectic group of, like, you know, serial entrepreneurs and executives and, you know, financiers or investors. And then you got like a pro athletes and a couple of actors and doctors. It's like a hodgepodge of these amazing people, but they all treat each other a certain way. They all have this deep bond and personal connection. And just the stuff that comes out of this, it's just unbelievable to witness and just be a part of. And I think we're now starting to try to get back to some of these events in a safe manner. So we're very excited. But there's a lot of ways to connect with members. And of course, you know, we have to maintain some level of privacy. So we talk very open with other members, but to the outside world, you know, we're private. You know, some people will deem it as like, is this a secret society? Is this like, you know, Illuminati or this, that, or this? You know, honestly, I suspect to say that there's probably no secrets inside the societies. You know, we know about those organizations. We just don't know anything about the inner workings of how they work or who's behind them. Some have probably good agendas. Some have very bad agendas, I'm sure, and create a lot of oppression. But, you know, like anything, we're just a private organization of a bunch of good people from around the world comprised of every walk of life. That are trying to do things right. They're bound by core values and, you know, honoring the word and how to treat people. And, you know, we are private, so no one can join Bellwether. We actually have had people try to buy their way in. But you have to be invited. It's invitation only. And, we do respect that outside of the organization of what we can say, but every member does have the authority to share the, you know, the information if they're planning on making an official nomination. And the laws, you know, as a business owner myself, believe me, I started teaching the laws right away to my people. You know, I'm wanting to have my whole team. I want them to learn the stuff I'm learning, man. And you can have tremendous growth, let's say, if you run a business right away. We don't have to reveal the source of the laws right away until we know a little bit more about their character, but we can share the info we want. That's the purpose, is, you know, as grandiose as it may seem, to leave the world in a little bit better shape than when we found it. Let's see here. I just want to make sure that I'm covering everything. Coin. So obviously there is a coin you probably read about. A lot of people ask, you know, what is the coin? Is that a real coin or is it like a symbolic token? It's a real coin for sure. In fact, every member has a certain coin. So there's a certain almoner coin. There's a different coin for mavens and certain gentry class coin. And that coin, we encourage all members to carry that on their person at all times. And it's not just, you know, a reminder of what type of organization we're a part of and the brevity of that and the importance of, you know, honoring our core values and our word. But it also serves as an identification marker to other members, right? So reason why this is so important is part of the bylaws, what they state is, and you'll have a copy of this within probably the next 24 hours, but it'll give you a really good understanding of how the organization works. And one part of the bylaws that says that if you're a new member, let's say, and there's other, and you need an introduction to another member, right? So let's say you have a technology and you're looking long-term for acquisition by a larger company, right? And so you need, the head of a major, at least some executive level person of a major tech company, but potentially, you don't have the leverage position or whatever to be able to set those type meetings, okay? Let's say, hey, I need to get to the head of Sony or the head of, it's hard for most people to kind of set up those meetings of that caliber, right? But in our organization, because of the bylaws, even if we're a new member, we can seek out these other members. And if we request a meeting with them, then they have to accommodate. Now, they don't have to accept our terms, right? It's up to you to put a value offer together that's good for both members, but they certainly will give you the respect of listening, right? And so that coin gives proof that we're actually in the organization. And it gives us access into rooms that you never might not be able to get access to. It's amazing because when we go to the events and do some of the things, we do live calls as well between members and they make introductions. It's like, hi, my name's so-and-so. I play for the Dallas Cowboys. Here's my phone number. They just share it. Here's my private email. Hey, I'm the head of this company. Here's my email. Hey, I'm an actor. They just freely share within the organization. But we have to help protect that data. We don't want to get it out there, share it. It's private to members. But the coin does serve not only, like I said, as a reminder of what we've joined and the seriousness of it, but as an identifying marker to be able to set those meetings that could potentially lead to the joint ventures we need or, funding or whatever. So let me provide you with a number. Let's see here. This phone number is 402-302-0503. That's 402-302-0503. So, and here's what we're going to do. In the next 24 hours, you're going to be receiving the bylaws of the organization. It's quite a bit of information. It's going to even give you more information about, some of the parameters of Bellwether, how it works, what the law, how all that stuff works. When you get that stuff, really take time to go through it. You might even go back through the site again and look at, the stuff that we've talked about. And really take a little bit of time to ponder on the information to see if it's right for you. And you're also going to get some information regarding member dues. So like any real organization, there's member dues for each member, regardless of class. Annually. I wouldn't worry about it. It's probably something like, joining your local Rotary Club or something like that. It's not significant at all. But I think it's proof of a real organization. There's a real staff. There's real people here trying to help you get connected to other people, trying to provide all the things they need to do to be able to receive the help everyone needs. And I think that's, again, verification that it is a real organization. But you'll get the information about that. When you get the information, go through the bylaws, go through the site again, really, get in a quiet place in your mind and do some meditation, really figure out if you feel aligned and this is the right thing for you, right? Do some soul searching, pray about it, meditate, whatever you do, but really think about if you feel aligned and, you should know by then. You're getting a lot of information right now, and you're going to get more information tomorrow. You should know in your heart if this feels right for you. And if it does, then simply text the number that I gave you and just say, hey, I'm aligned. I wish to move forward, something like that. And promptly someone will return your call, and they know that they're now what the trajectory is. We know now that we're going to make introductions to ambassadors, get you down the road, start getting you the laws, all that stuff. If you don't feel like you're 100% aligned, then it's no worries. If it's not right for you, you don't feel aligned with our message or our objectives or our values, then simply don't text. And there's a window here of an open cycle. So one of the laws that we learn in Bellwether is actually called the law of open cycles. The law of open cycles talks about the importance of putting time limitations on everything. And so when you receive the bylaws tomorrow, there'll be an open cycle of 72 hours. So in that 72 hours, again, we want to go back through the site. We want to go over the bylaws, go over the information, try to really think about if we feel aligned, you know? And if we do, text the number, you know, hey, I'm aligned. I wish to move forward. And then things will kick in and you'll start getting contacted and we know that you want to move forward. But if we don't hear from you within 72 hours, then we'll assume that you weren't fully aligned, you didn't resonate with our objectives, and of course, we'll wish you much continued success in the future, but the invitation to this organization will be rescinded after 72 hours. And it doesn't come around again. It never comes back. So I just want people to be aware of that. You know, I'm not going to try to oversell anything and try to, we never ever try to sell Bellwether or convince people that it's right for them. You know, I see things on a weekly basis that I'm just amazed about, and people joining this and getting this fun and, you know, all these things that are happening, but I'm not going to try to, you know, sell all that and say, well, let me tell you about the people and let me tell you what I saw last week. It's everybody has to make their own decision and truly, you know, do some deep diving in their heart to see if they feel like they are aligned. And, you know, again, I just want to state one other thing. You know, there's a few things that are going to take you back. If you decide that you are aligned and wish to move forward, there's a couple things that are going to really take you back. First of all, one thing, I don't know why this happens, but when you receive the coin, I don't know why it does this, because you know you're getting a coin out, but when you get the coin, it's pretty interesting to see. And it comes in a little silk purse with this little note. And I don't know why this happens, because we know we're getting it, but when you get the coin, there's this holy crap moment, like the brevity of like, oh my gosh, oh my, like it's a little bit overwhelming for some reason. I don't know why it happens, but it is definitely going to knock you back on your heels a little bit. The other thing I'll tell you for certain is that when you start connecting with other members, which is pretty much right away, you're really going to be knocked off balance, because there's a different intention. You know, these are very successful people, but they're truly others focused, and they're saying, you know, hey, what can I do to help you? Like, what, you're a new member, how can I, you know, be of service to you? What can I do to help you along? What are your needs? I've even had some people say, you know, what resources do I have at my disposal? That kind of be truly others focused. They're not saying, I just need 10%, or, you know, I offer coaching, maybe I could coach you. And this, they're not trying to do that. They're not trying to broker terms, because there's laws that we not only follow the same, you know, core values, but we follow the same laws and principle. We have the same education. You know, one of the laws that we teach is called the law of exchange. And that talks about how there's four different exchange rates, right? So some people, companies provide partial exchange, right? So they provide a service, but they don't fully deliver, right? You can have fair exchange. You got what you paid for. You can have abundance exchange. And part of that law says that when somebody provides real value to another person, not just financial support, but perhaps emotional support, perhaps sweat equity of effort, perhaps just guidance, even emotional support. When somebody provides real value, then that law compels us now where we feel obligated to eventually seek that person out and provide not just fair exchange, but an abundance exchange of value. So look, these people, they know that you practice the law of abundance, and they're not worried about what's in it for them. They're truly interested in you and others focused on how to help and guide and get you to where you're trying to go. And it's really, it'll knock you back on your heels a little bit, because you're like, what is this, man? Are these people for real? Like, what's in it for them? And they don't, they're not worried about it because they understand later on you're probably going to seek them out and provide, you understand exchange rate. Like there's rules we live by. We all have the same, not only core values, but the same education. So it's really going to maybe, it's a different experience that I think is a very rare thing in the world today. I just want to say one other thing. We've been on a little while here, is, you know, some people perhaps have gone to networking groups in the past or meetup groups, or maybe you joined your local chamber of commerce, or I kind of jokingly mentioned Rotary or something like that. And you know, I'm not knocking those groups. They certainly serve their purpose, right? In fact, I've been part of them at times. But those groups, if you think about the purpose of those type of groups, it's really to help a person survive better, right? So the purpose is, you know, if I can join my local whatever group and I can get an extra 5 or 10 clients annually, right? If I can get a handful of customers for my product or service every year, it gives me a little extra breathing room, right? And it's worth joining, right? It gives me that extra breath to survive better. But nothing about those groups is about thrive, right? I mean, it helps us survive better, but it's not thrive in abundance, right? You're not going to learn how to create generational wealth by going to those groups. You're not going to learn how to become a better person by going to those groups, right? So this is, you know, those groups, again, I'm not knocking them if you're a member of one, but this is not that. This is truly about thrive and abundance. It's not a, you know, like a high-end mastermind group. It's a lifestyle that we take very seriously. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the call, if we really enjoy the experience and we become part of the culture of Bellwether, we follow the rules and we treat people the way that we're, you know, commissioned to treat others, then it can solve all the problems that most people have that are holding people back from hitting that highest level of success. We can find all those things, that we can get the right education, we can get the right Rolodex, we can get the right meeting set, we may be able to even get the right funding and everything that we're seeking. Bellwether can be a solution if we allow it, but it's not a magic pill. It's not like a, you know, a quick here, learn this thing. And there's work to be involved in. Of course, we have to uphold our integrity and treat others with respect. So that's something I've really liked, because it's not a networking group, that's for sure. And you're going to understand that within the first week or two. You're going to really get a taste of what it really is. And I think that those of you that decide to move forward, it's going to be quite refreshing. And let's be honest, I mean, just getting someone sharing the link with you, it's already a little bit overwhelming, right? I mean, most people never get an invitation to an organization like this. Some people can be very fearful of, like, what is this? And their mind goes crazy. They've seen a lot of movies. You know, honestly, it's, you know, those that decide to move forward, you'll find out it's everything that you hoped it would be and more, you know. And the goal of at least the first year is to uphold the, you know, learn the core values, uphold them at all costs, really get a handle on the laws and principles, and make a handful or two of really deep, close personal friendships. You can meet a lot more than that if you want. But honestly, again, we need to focus on quality, not quantity. And, you know, there's a friend of mine in Bellwether, and we've known each other for quite some time, but recently he actually said, you know, Dan, I never told you this, but I graduated Yale, and I think Yale, and I got punched for their organization. I think it's Skull and Crossbones. I don't know, you know, anything about Skull and Crossbones. We're not affiliated. I've certainly heard of it. But he said, you know, in my brotherhood, he said, there was only 65 people in my brotherhood. But I built really close friendships with 10 or 12, maybe a dozen of those people, like really deep personal friendships. And I got to tell you, just that dozen friendships changed my entire life. It changed my trajectory that I was on. It changed my wealth status, my values, even the lineage of our family tree, like the lineage of our last name, everything just in those 12 things. You know, when you think about a strategic joint venture or partnership or whatever, how many contacts does a person need? We don't need 5,000 contacts on LinkedIn, right? Really, if you have clarity of vision and you know what you're doing, you might only need one or two of the right contacts. You need one or two of the right things to happen, the right joint venture or counterpart or whatever. And you should be gone, man, like off to the races. You should be done, right? We don't need 50. Now, again, you can have a lot of contacts in Bellwether and you certainly will meet them. But the goal for the first year is build a half dozen or a dozen really close, deep personal friendships. These are people that not just we do business together, but we take vacation together. These are people that are cut from the same moral cloth and fiber. These are the people that we really have something truly in common with, right? And that will serve you well. You know, again, when you get the bylaws tomorrow, go over it carefully, go over the information again, do a little bit of soul searching, you know, make sure that this is right for you. Search it out in your heart. If it is, again, text the number that we gave you and let us know in the next 72 hours from receiving the bylaws. And if we don't hear from you, of course, again, we will wish you very, very much luck on your journey. You know, I don't open it up for questions. The reason why is because even though I do serve as the viceroy, I'm not on the Regent Council. And when you get the bylaws tomorrow and you look back through the information and think about what we've discussed, especially when you get the stuff tomorrow, it's probably going to answer the majority of the questions you have. However, with that being said, if you find that you have like one question or you have just a couple questions, like, man, I feel so aligned, but I just got like one quick question or I got a couple quick questions. That's okay. Simply text them to the number that I gave you. And again, those should be directed to the Regent Council, not myself. And I promise you, somebody promptly will be in response to give you the information you're seeking so you can make the best decision to make sure that this is right for you. You know, we look forward to hearing from some of you and welcoming some of you into the Alliance as new members. I personally look forward to building some deep friendships with you and doing whatever I can do to add value and help you along your journey. Thank you very much for your time and allowing me to explain some of these things to you. I really appreciate the time and listening ear. And of course, as always, remember to live well and prosper fairly. Thank you very much.